ask that you hide me behind the curtain. That they may be able to see you and not me. Open our hearts that we may receive your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
The church said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, it's always a privilege and a pleasure to been asked to come before you and to talk about this series of spiritual gifts. During this series, we had several people that came before me. So I'm going to just paint a small picture. First, that led us out the gate was Elder Dominique, the gifts of revelation and wisdom, understanding and guidance. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Following her was Sister Linda, discernment of spirits, interpretation of dreams and vision. Then following her was Sister Deanna, innovation and problem solving, faith. Following Sister Deanna, we have Minister David, gifts of power and faith, healing and miracles. Following Mr. David, we have Sister Michelle, gift of communication and leadership, prophecy and teaching. Which brings me coming before you again with gift of communication and leadership. My gifts, what I bring for you is encouragement and evangelism. I'm not going to be before you long. It's 5 minutes to 12. I should have you out of here by 12. Right. One of the series of scriptures was 1 Corinthians 12. But I just want to talk to you for a little while about spiritual blindness. Like I said, I have experienced spiritual blindness in my Christian walk. And when you have spiritual blindness, like the pastor was saying, you may be able to see with your physical eye, but you miss a whole lot with your spiritual eyes. Pastor said the young lady was blind physically, but she could see spiritually. If I had a choice, I'd rather see spiritually, because sometimes your eyes can fool you. I had a friend that would tell me, I believe nothing that I hear, and only half of what I see. Well, that's how we were talking about evangelism and encouragement. When I was growing up and spending time with my grandmother, I remember my grandmother listening to the radio or watching TV. And there was a particular well-known evangelist by the name of the Reverend Billy Graham. He would have thousands of people and would, back then people would call crusades. They have a few of them now, but not as prominent as they was back then. And Reverend Billy Graham, he would have thousands of people at these crusades, and he would convince thousands of attendees to make their decision to follow Christ or to accept Christ. He has convinced over 225 million souls to serve Jesus. He has preached in almost 200 countries. Reverend Billy Graham's go-to scripture was Mark 16 and 15. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. His message was relatively simple. When Reverend Billy Graham would come out on TV or hear him on the radio, it was always the same. Confess your sins. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and get your ticket to salvation. It was catchy. It was plain. And the people came in droves because the way he delivered it, the way he invited them as an evangelist. But when you are in evangelism, you have to have love, faith, encouragement. You have those three. You're in the midst of evangelism, it will draw out many people to God. And not to you. Reverend Billy Graham, he had different tactics that he would use. He would have very prominent artists. A couple times he had Johnny Cash out there, and the people come to see Johnny Cash. But also, in the midst of them listening to Johnny Cash, they came in droves, he would tell them, confess your sins, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and get your ticket to salvation. Which brings me to my first point. What is evangelism? The definition of evangelism is sharing the gospel through speaking to the public and sharing God's unchanging love and telling the truth about who Jesus is and always will be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul introduces the church at Corinth about these spiritual gifts. 12 and 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentile, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. These gifts that Paul is talking about are given from the Holy Spirit. And what Paul was talking about, we had several leaders in the church. They all had different gifts. And Paul was letting them know that, look, you all have several gifts. You all have different gifts. But they only came from one spirit. There's gifts of healing. There's gifts of prophecy. There's gifts of tongue. All of you leaders have these gifts. And you can use them to edify the kingdom,
amen.
Not yourself.
Amen.
That's what Paul wanted to introduce to the church of Corinth. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about another evangelist. The another evangelist by name was called Apostle Paul. Paul had spiritual gifts. But in Ephesians 4 and 11, and he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. The gift was from Jesus to the church. God would send an evangelist to the church. He would send pastors to the church. He would send teachers to the church. It was a gift. Yet, all these teachers and evangelists and preachers and apostles, they all had a gift to edify the kingdom, not themselves. Which brings me to my second point. The Apostle Paul was a gift to the church. However, the church was not eager to receive Paul. Because Paul was, before that time, he was called Saul. And he was known for persecuting the church.
Right.
So you can imagine how the church was receiving Paul. It was like, wait a minute, you persecuted us. You murdered us. You had us going into prison. You know, and now you want to evangelize to us? You want to tell us about the goodness of Jesus Christ? Paul had an uphill battle. But as an evangelist, he went on and did what God asked him to do. Paul was converted after the death of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ rose again is when Saul met Jesus. I believe it was at the road to Damascus. You want to follow me on that one? You can look at Acts 9:4. While traveling to Damascus to further persecute Christians, talking about that spiritual blindness, Saul was struck by a blinding light. Blinding. And he hears a voice. He couldn't see now, but he hears a voice asking, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" This encounter changes Paul's life, leading to his conversion to Christianity. As the Apostle Paul, spreading the gospel for one who was persecuting the church. Like I said, he was going an uphill battle because even the apostles and the disciples, they were afraid of him. They were afraid of the, I mean, Saul was a bad man. You know, he was pushing his agenda. But he has spiritual blindness because he couldn't see God's church. He couldn't see Jesus, but he had a gift, but his gift was used in the wrong way. Instead of destroying God's people, Jesus told him, make disciples, go out and preach the gospel. Preach Jesus and live, which Paul, fighting this uphill battle, you have to have encouragement. Which brings me to my third point. You have to encourage yourself sometimes when you are confronted with an uphill battle. Jesus was there when Paul was being converted, and Jesus sent him someone in Acts 4:36. It states, and Jose, who was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement. God will not send you out somewhere to fail.
That's right.
A lot of times God will send you where you don't want to go. That's one reason when you know God has sent you there. Because it's not of yourself. It's to edify the kingdom of God. And when God sends you somewhere, you're not going to want to do it. When I made a point when I was called to preach at 9 years old, God called me in a dream. He said, go and tell a dying world that Jesus lived. At 9. I wanted to play. I wanted to do, you know, when I was a child, I wanted to speak as a child. I wanted to do childish things. That was a big task. You want me to preach the word. But God will send you an encouragement. As we talk about in these spiritual gifts, God will send prophets. People that will prophesy, there's a calling on your life. God has called you. He gives you confirmation. And I was still running. I ran. I didn't know. I don't want to do this. You know, there's more things that I want to do. But no, go tell the dying world that Jesus lived. And I did it. And then, like I said, as being human, I decided to do my own agenda. And then that's when the wolf would come. Those of you who been called to do the will of the Lord and you don't do it, you're going to have some restless nights, some sleepless nights. Things are not going to go your way. Your job, you may lose your job. You may lose your car, lose your house. You know, all these things because you wanted to do it your way. Spiritual blindness. But then my eyes became open and I was able to see what God wanted me to do. And he put me in different places. He put me in the military. Again, go tell the dying world that Jesus lives. Do I have to? I mean, I want to go see the world, and you know, I would just want to just be me. Jesus. So as we look at an evangelist that is now getting encouragement, but one point I wanted to bring up that spiritual blindness can also become physical blindness. In Saul's case, not only did he see a bright light, but he lost his sight. One of the points that I wanted to bring out, he lost his sight to the point that he had to be led. For the rest of the road on Damascus, he lost. Remember, he was going to persecute the church. He had to be led by his hand, by the apostle. But God sent him somebody. He sent him Barnabas, who took Saul by the hand and led him to where God wanted him to go. One of them was a miracle. Like we're talking about the spiritual gifts, a miracle happened. Saul, which had his name Paul and Saul, was able to preach the gospel immediately. He didn't have no training. The Holy Spirit touched him immediately. And for somebody that was persecuting the church, which was not that long, I want to make that clear. He persecuted the church, but it wasn't thousands of years, hundreds of years. I think it may even have been maybe 2 years. You know, you go by the timeline that Paul was evangelizing. But he was physically blind. But when he opened up his spiritual eyes, somewhere in the scripture, you'll find that they were scaled on his eyes. Really shouting around through up in here. And the scales fell off. So not only was he able to see physically, but Paul was able to see spiritually.
Yeah, amen.
And then that's when he was able to go to the church at Corinth. Through the Acts of Apostles, you find that Paul was firm in his teaching. And he was telling the church, look, you have spiritual gifts. As many of you leaders, so you don't have to fight each other over these gifts, but use these gifts that came from one spirit gives you knowledge, wisdom, healing. You had these evangelists, apostles, that was going around being able to heal somebody. They was able to teach people. They was able to speak in tongues where even Satan couldn't understand them. And that's why God would do these things. But when God calls you to do his marvelous work, you cannot be spiritually blind. You have to open up your spiritual eyes, because your physical eyes may lead you astray. You may see some things that's not how it looks. Well, I saw brother so and so. He was down there, and he was the place where he wasn't supposed to be. No, just like Paul was in the place he wasn't supposed to be, but Jesus touched his life and he became Saul. But he was still Paul. A lot of people say Jesus changed his name. Well, that's up for debate. Because during different languages, Greek and Hebrew, they had different names. Not only did they have different names, but your name came to what you were doing. Like Barnabas. His name was translated Son of Encouragement. And he encouraged Paul. Paul and Barnabas, as we would say in today's language, they were thick as thieves. Okay. When Paul was preaching the gospel, Barnabas was already out there. Barnabas was already the head of a church. You know, Barnabas already had a following. So Barnabas was able to convince the ones that knew Saul to persecute the church, to convince them that, no, he's been changed. God has called him to do his marvelous work. And Paul did that. So when you have spiritual blindness, touch somebody that you wouldn't normally see with your physical eyes. On your way to serving God, your physical eyes may cause you to walk over people, walk over a family that needs the word from the Lord. Because of your physical eyes, you may not see them. But lean to your spiritual eyes, and you'll be able to see what Jesus has for you, to be able to encourage their family, to help them. At the same time, spiritual blindness would cause you to miss out on salvation. That's one of the things that salvation was preached when an evangelist comes to you. You see many evangelists out there on the street. A lot of times they get the shouting and their ministry is not effective because they're looking at their physical eye. But you find an evangelist that would use their spiritual eye. And just like minister, apostle, well, I wouldn't say he was apostle, but Billy Graham was an evangelist, but he was able to bring millions to him. And I'm sure he went to some places that God sent him that he didn't want to go. No, he didn't want to go to a lot of those places, but he did. And God's church was edified. So in closing, when you get down in your life, in your teaching, whether you teach in a class, whether you're behind the sacred pulpit, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Thank you for your attention, and hope you had a blessing to this holy word through evangelism and encouragement. You can't have one without the other. Lean to God. Do not let spiritual blindness hinder you from helping the church.
Amen.
We all have spiritual blindness somewhere. And you may come across somebody that has spiritual blindness. Well, I'm not going to help them because they think they're better than we are. That spiritual blindness will cause you to miss the mark. Jesus said, be careful who you may entertain, because you might be entertaining an angel. Father God, we thank you for the word. Thank you for spiritual blindness. We thank you for Saul that was converted to Paul, that evangelized your word, that was able to teach your word, that was able to teach the different churches, that was able to teach the apostles and the evangelists and the teachers. He was able to lead them to you, not for his own will, Lord, but your will was done. Thank you. May God keep you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.